Listeners, playoff hockey is back on the island as my New York Islanders take aim against the Pittsburgh Penguins this Wednesday at the Nassau Memorial Coliseum. And you know what, listeners? I hope to be hearing a lot of this each and every time the Islanders score a goal against them damn Penguins before we get the show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants and Jets, Yankees and Mets, Knicks and Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A.O.B. And please pardon my French as we bring you an all-new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson, the Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, April 8th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast, and Satellite Radio. Yes, baby, yes. Please subscribe to the show so you won't miss a damn thing, and you can also catch previous airings of the show in case you want to catch what you missed. Also, if you got any questions that you'd like for me and the Mad Mike to answer, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@parkmyfresh.com, or you can send them directly to the website. And yes, listeners, me and the Mad Mike are also on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button as we have a great show for you today, listeners. We're going to talk New York Islanders, as the Islanders are in the playoffs for quite some time, so we're going to touch up on that. We're going to talk some baseball as the New York Mets lost 2-3 to the Nationals and the Yankees swept the Baltimore Orioles. And we're going to talk some NCAA Final Four and who are our picks to win the national championship. So as always, listeners, let's buckle up. Sit back and relax and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lord, I'm back home in New York enjoying this 60-degree weather. I apologize if you hear any sirens. It's not me, I promise.
Listen, long time coming. I'm excited about this weather, man. I'm ready to put the winter coat up and put on some shorts and Jordans. That's what I'm looking forward to. But look, Mad Mike, the championship game is being played later on this evening. The NCAA championship game is being played later this evening as Virginia beat Auburn and Michigan State fell to Texas Tech. But let's start off with this Virginia-Auburn game as Kyle Guy's last second free throws put them ahead with 0.06 seconds left on the clock. And the Tigers probably suffered one of the most heartbreaking defeats in Final Four history, Mad Mike, while the Cavaliers are one win away from their first national title. Now, I got to say that every Virginia fan and every Auburn fan will remember this, remember Saturday night in Minneapolis for the rest of their lives. And I think, you know, Cavalier backers, the evening will be remembered for inexplicable collapse and an equally inexplicable survival. because they had a big lead, then they blew the big lead. And for the other side, it's hard to see the game being remembered for anything other than pure pain. All right, now, if there was any doubt still lingering, you know, after Virginia South Regional final win over Purdue last weekend, there isn't any more. The days of the Cavaliers being seemingly unable to catch a break in the NCAA tournament, I thought that was dad forever, Mad Mike. Now, I want to get your take on this, all right? Now, trailing by 2 points with just 1.5 seconds to play, Virginia hopes of going from the ultimate March misery to ultimate March Madness. 12 months appeared to be over. And Kyle Guy attempt at a game-winning corner three found nothing but iron. But a whistle on Auburn's Samir Doherty that will be at the center of much of the Final Four's discussion for the next 48 hours changed that. As he jumped, you know, in the NBA, they have this rule where you can't jump into the jump shooter space or crowd the jump shooter space and give him a chance to land. That happened where Kyle Guy took the jump shot and the Auburn defender landed into his landing space, and he did bump him while he was in the air, Mad Mike. Want to get your call on that, as I actually thought that was a foul. But before that play actually happened, Mad Mike, the young man, Kyle, was dribbling the ball, dribbled it off his foot, and then picked it up and started dribbling again. You can't do that. That's a double dribble before he was fouled, and the referees missed that call. Now, first thing, Mad Mike, is I want to get your take on that play. And many people don't think it was a foul. I necessarily thought it was a foul. They had an NC, or they had a referee come in, and his take was it was a foul. Was that a foul, Mad Mike?
Well, yeah, I started on a three-pointer. By no question was that a foul. And this is the problem I have with people. It was an amazing game, and you don't want the game to come down to free throws. But if you allow me to kind of change course, did this not happen at the end of Tennessee-Purdue, where the Purdue shooter actually kicks his leg out and causes a contact in the Tennessee game? He gets the three free throws. He ties the game and sends it into overtime. So that nobody was complaining then because people had Purdue, right? So now it's the Final Four. If you look at it, this was much worse. He went directly into the hip of the shooter. And like you said, yeah, he clanked iron. But if he doesn't get, I guess knocked off balance, does he hit the shot? We will never know. It was a foul. But I'll also say this, man, and I will change it and compare it to a completely different sport. Didn't they rob the Saints by not making a call because they didn't want the game to come down to the penalty? And this, they said, you know what? A foul's a foul. And I don't care if it comes down to the free throws. The kid still got to go out and make them. And he put the pressure on the kid to make them, and the kid made them. He did. The ref made the right call. He made the foul call, and the kid, you know, sucked it up, bared down, and he made his free throws. So you could say they got cheated, however you want. You know what I mean? They didn't get cheated on that foul call. It was a foul. Clear. It didn't even matter. You know what I mean? He made contact with the body.
He actually, and Saturday's national semifinal appeared to be on the same course. Virginia led the game 57-47 with just about a little bit over 5 minutes to play, and then promptly allowed Auburn to go on what appeared to be a game-defining run. You know, instead of 6 points from Kyle Garvey under 9 seconds, and we talked about Charlottesville from now for eternity, but Auburn arrived, Mad Mike, as the hottest outside shooting team, in my opinion, still standing. And the Tigers won the Midwest region thanks to 12 three-pointers against New Mexico State, 13 against Kansas, 17 against North Carolina, and a paltry 7 against Kentucky. But against Virginia, a team that thrives on taking away Auburn's two biggest strengths, which, in my opinion, are points in transition and outside shooting, I thought the Tigers struggled on offense for the most of the evening. They just shot 9-31 from beyond the arc, Mad Mike, and a tournament low 38.2% from the field overall. So when Auburn countered UVA's lethal perimeter defense by trying to attack the basket, you know, DeAndre Hunter and company were there to welcome them. So, you know, the 62 points from the Tigers finished where they're fewest since the 80-53 loss to Kentucky all the way back to February 23rd, Mad Mike. And that defeat has also been their most recent before Saturday night.
And yeah, also, yeah, this,
Ken, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say this game kind of reminded me of those old school Mike D'Antoni's Suns versus Popovich's Spurs. This is exactly what it felt like. Where remember how the Spurs always won? They always kept it close. The same thing with D'Antoni, right? They went with transition baskets and outside shooting. They would keep it close, and then they find a way to win some ugly nonsense. And as fans, we always said those Suns teams were much better teams. They had so much more talent. Sometimes it comes down to, you know, what you do well. If what Virginia does well plays against, it's taking away some of the strengths. And it's not to say that Auburn didn't play well. They just kept it close. And you know, won controversially, if you want to call it that, at the end.
Yeah, look, this, you want to talk about players who draft stock has risen, Mad Mike? I just want to throw a name out, as I think that there's no debate in who Virginia's most naturally gifted player is. And I want to say it's DeAndre Hunter. He's 6'7". I think he's a do-it-all-four who could score from just about any spot on the court. And there's a reason he's almost universally projected to be a top 10 pick in this draft. So if you just looked at Virginia's box scores from his final four NCAA tournament games, you would have never known this. All right, during the South Regional play, he posted 10.3 points. All right, and then he misfired on 20 or 32 field goals he attempted and went 3 from 12 from beyond the arc. I'm doing my homework, listeners. This is what me and Mad Mike do. We do our homework on this. These are facts. I'm giving you stats. We love stats. Sports people love stats. So with just 4 points in the first half, and his team trolling by 3 at the break, he came out of the locker room like a man who had just remembered he was supposed to be the best player on the floor. He was aggressive, and it resulted in scoring 8 of the team's first 13 points and turning a 31-28 deficit, Mad Mike, into a 40-36 point lead. In just over 6 minutes, he did that. And, you know, Virginia never relinquished that lead. And he finished the game with 14 points. You know, 10 of those coming in the second half. His resurgence was huge, in my opinion, Mad Mike. Huge. And it comes to getting Virginia to the championship game. But I think it might have been even more important when it comes to the Cavaliers' chances of actually winning their first national title. So he's a projected top 10 pick. Those numbers doesn't specify as a projected top 10 pick. But sometimes you can do things in ways other than putting the basket, the ball in the hoop. And sometimes best players seem to propel their team in the right direction. And this young man came out and did that, Mad Mike.
Yeah, no, he really is. But listen, they're going to have their hands full with Jarrett Culver and boys in the final. We'll see what happens. I mean, it might be the most boring final you ever watch if you think about it, with all the defense that's going to be played. You know, Virginia is not Michigan State. Virginia is not a one-man show by no means. So, I don't know what Texas Tech's going to do there. And, you know, the same thing. Same thing can be said. Texas Tech hasn't faced a defense all season like Virginia. So if you have to go to individual talents, neither team has totally gifted, I guess you could say Jarrett Culver and DeAndre Hunter are top 10, potential top 10 players in this draft. But outside of that, I'd say Virginia has the better, the better cast. I don't know, man. This is not the matchup that I kind of wanted. You know what I mean? Like,
The matchup I know I you picked Auburn and I picked Virginia, but we also thought it was a coin toss. We also knew that either one of those, you know, we wouldn't be surprised if Auburn beat Virginia, and wouldn't be surprised if Virginia beat Auburn.
Yeah, nah, not at all. And I think we both went with State and Izzo, but it's going to be interesting.
Talking about smothering defense, speaking of Texas Tech and Michigan State, man, Mike, talking about smothering defense, wow, I've never seen a team swarm to the ball as much as I did Texas Tech against Michigan State. And here it was, the first Final Four appearance for Texas Tech, and a recipe for disaster was unfolding. The Red Raiders' best player, Jarrett Culver, was missing in action, unable to locate his shot of confidence. Their most dynamic player, Tariq Owens, had injured his ankle and had to be helped off the court. And their double-digit lead had been cut to a single point. And the Red Raiders, you know, they leaned on their defense, man, Mike, which I thought was a deep way to resolve, you know, the shooting of guard Matt Mooney to hold off Michigan State 61-51 in advance to the championship game later this evening, man, Mike. And Texas Tech finished at 31-6. And they'll meet Virginia 34-3, you know, with Stone Auburn. And the Red Raiders will be making their first trip to the game, Mike. Congratulations to those guys. And, you know, helping Texas Tech through was Mooney. He scored 22 points, including three second-half three-pointers in a defense that carried this team this far. Man, they was all over the place, Mad Mike.
Yeah, no, that's how they've been. They've played ugly. They play defense. And the offense has come along in the tournament. The only reason people didn't buy into Texas Tech, everyone's always said that, hey, this can be a Final Four team, a title contending team because of the defense. The problem is the offense has had so many spurts where they disappear, and they kind of, you know, I guess you could say Saturday night, you know, they did kind of have that going with Culver, you know, with Owens hurt, with Culver going cold, and, you know, Odiasi scored, I think he had zero. I don't even think he had a shot attempted, as a matter of fact, until the end, the last few free throws. So, you know, I mean, it was, if not for Mooney, this team would have been in trouble. It would have been the story that everybody said. Like, hey, you just play them and you wait for the offense to disappear. And they avoided it, you know. I won't say they avoided it, but, you know, I think they only had one guy. Been only one guy in double figures. I don't think Culver might have made it. But yeah, outside of Mooney, I don't think they got much from anybody.
Yeah,
and that's what people have been waiting for.
Yeah, and how crazy did Michigan State is? Look, it's first off, it's good to see two fresh teams. And like Mike said, listen, this could be a very boring game. It could be a boring game. And Michigan State was the only team to arrive at this year's Final Four. That night, that expected not to have the jitters. I mean, Texas Tech and Auburn had never before reached the Final Four. Virginia had never reached since 1984. But the Spartans are almost placeholders in the event. They've been there eight times in the last 21 seasons under Tom Izzo. But they have only won once in that span. And that title was in 2000. And now, long ago, booking to the championship, Magic Johnson delivered in 79, man, Mike.
Yeah, no, I mean, not for nothing, but here's another thing that you kind of expected, right? If Cassius Winston got, you know, if they pressured him, locked him down, and made it difficult on him, there was no way that Michigan State was ever going to win this. And you knew that, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what was going to happen. Because you find someone else on Michigan State that's consistent. You know, if it wasn't for Cassius Winston's game against Duke, do they even advance? You know, like he played the game of his life against Duke. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. You're right about one thing. We kind of expected them to keep their composure. We kind of expected them, because of Izzo, because of the eight, you know, Final Fours. But at the same time, you got to take into consideration that, like you said, out of eight Final Fours, only one championship. So you can't be shocked by this.
Yeah, and listen. Just can't be. Shout out to that young man. He has played splendidly throughout the tournament for Michigan State. And I thought Texas Tech did a good job. They held him a check. He still led the Spartans with 16 points. But he made only 4-16 shots and had twice as many turnovers, you know. And the 51 points, Matt Mike, was season low for Michigan State. Season low.
Yeah, not shocking at all.
You know, I think if Saturday's first national semifinal, you know, was always going to be a study in contrast, Virginia's, you know, methodical precision against Auburn, organized chaos, the second game was not. You know, I was expecting more from Michigan State. I was expecting more for them. But, hey, this is college basketball, right? And the Red Raiders have hung their hard hats on grinding defense. That is rated as the most efficient in the nation, Mad Mike.
Yeah. You know, Virginia, who's known for their defense.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is going to be the, both teams are seeing the best defense that they've seen all year. The only reason that I'm going to give Virginia the edge, and I'm probably jumping the gun here, only reason I'm going to give Virginia the edge is because if you think about it, Virginia has actually seen more, I don't want to say competent offenses. They've seen a lot more of the explosive offenses throughout this year, where Texas Tech has not. So I'd hang my hat on their defense just off the strength that they've been able to shut down better offenses, not just necessarily in the tournament, but all season long. When you consider two against Duke, two against UNC, two against Florida State, two against just actually beating Auburn, they've played some of the more explosive offensive teams, and they've held their own. So I'm gonna ride with them.
That's a great point, Mad Mike. And in a typical 90-minute practice, because that's usually with teams practice, as far as what I know of, the players were stated that they spent 60 minutes of the 90 minutes on playing defense. And it's Saturday night, Texas Tech, with this persistent switching and relentless movement and extended arms, made every pass a chore for Michigan State. Every shot, a tough shot. And when the Spartans did manage to work the ball inside, It was contested.
Yeah, they collapsed and they contest everything. I'm not gonna say there were no open looks, but there were no free looks. You know what I mean? There was no freebies in there. Like even if you had a good look at the basket, they wanted you to understand that there was gonna be somebody, coming after you, or they did their job well. I mean, sometimes all you got to do is make someone know that you're there for them to be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Well, that's the whole idea, right? Just make somebody rush just a little bit. Get them out of rhythm just a little bit, and they're going to miss shots. Not everybody's Steph Curry.
You're absolutely right about that. So with that being said, in the finals, we have Texas Tech versus Virginia. Who do you have winning the national championship later this evening, man, Mike?
Oh, Virginia. For sure, I've already laid it out. I have Virginia for all the reasons that I listed.
Oh, boy.
So.
This is college basketball, and my bracket, like I said, is all chewed up. And in the pieces, I'm just going to guess and say Texas Tech, man, Mike.
It's not a bad look.
Obvious choice would be Virginia for your same reasons. But I just like to watch the way they play defense, man, Mike, Saturday. I've never seen that type of defensive effort during this whole tournament. I just haven't. They were all...
I can say that's the thing, though. I can say the same exact about Virginia. If Virginia played a less explosive offensive team like Michigan State, I think they would have been suffocating too. But because they played maybe the hottest offensive team in the country, I mean, what did they hold them to, 63 points? So they held the hottest offensive team in the country to 63 points. I don't necessarily think that's something that they should apologize for. They're a really good defensive team. And not for nothing, I know, and here's one other thing. I guess I did have one other thing to say about it. I know that Texas Tech is a Cinderella. Everybody always wants to see what we've never seen before. But take this into consideration. One, we've never seen Virginia win a title themselves. They don't have a title. Never won a national title as a basketball program, right? So that's one. We're going to see if they won, we'd see a first there. Two, we've never seen a one seed lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament ever in history. That happened last year with Virginia. And for them to go from that full circle and win a national title the very next year, what's a cooler story than that? You can make the argument for Texas Tech, but just think about it from that point of view. I'm saying, I'd rather see Virginia win. I'd rather see them come full circle. I'd rather see Tony Bennett be able to say, hey, you look in those kids' eyes and you tell them next year is our year. I promise you we're ready for this stage. And they deliver. It's amazing, man.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll see. Listeners, we'll talk about the championship winner and next week's show. But, man, Mike, I just want to get your opinion. Switching real quickly to the NBA, as the Knicks have completed phase one. Okay? They've completed phase one, and that was finished with the worst record in the NBA. This is exactly what me and the Mad Mike wanted from the Knicks.
They're going to get the fifth pick and take Bol Bol, bro.
Yeah, I know. Come on, man. Let me live in the moment for a second, man.
I'm just joking.
But
I'm not talking any of that.
I want to get your opinion on this game when the Knicks played the Houston Rockets, Mad Mike. And in the fourth quarter, which the Knicks were getting their butts handed to them, the starters from the Houston Rockets left the bench before the game ended. They left the bench. Do you see that as a sign of disrespect? Because starters, James Harden, Chris Paul, they left with about a minute and 30 seconds to go.
First of all, you can finish, but give me 1 second while it's in my brain. Let's stop acting like Chris Paul is some good guy. Let's stop acting like because he's a star in this league, he's someone that we should look up to. He's somebody that we should hold in high regard. Chris Paul shows you how classless he is. And don't give me this competitive BS. Chris Paul shows you how classless a person he is, how classless a player he is every chance he gets, whether it's the Rajon Rondo fake tough guy act, whether it's leading his Houston players, teammates last year through a back alley entrance into the locker room for the LA Clippers, to what he did on Friday night. He's a clown to me. Lost all respect for him. And I haven't had much respect for him because of like the things I've named, man. You keep going, but I just had to get that off my chest.
Is so mad, Mike. Alan Hahn, who's an MSG Network commentator, he went on a rant. You know, he stated that the Rockets showed disrespect. And that the Knicks, the young Knicks who return next season, they should file us away. And a Rockets spokesman was on record saying that the players, they were getting a jump on their ice treatments, Mad Mike, since they knew the reserves were handling the fourth quarter garbage time. And no disrespect at all was meant.
But that is disrespect. Unless you got guys that are getting taped up, that are injured. No, that is disrespect. I don't want to hear that, Lloyd. Did anybody get pulled from that game?
I totally agree. That was a BS response from the spokesman.
That's all I'm saying. Did they get pulled because the game was out of hand, or did they get pulled because they were hurt? This bogus, man. And I'm telling you, it's just, listen, Knicks fans, Knicks players, follow it away. Because this summer, it's going to change. I promise you this summer it's going to change and follow the way, because all these teams, you go into their building next year and you embarrass the hell out of them. And I'm going to say something. Alan Hahn is 100% right. And you know what? Let's all channel Michael Rappaport, his rant against LeBron James when LeBron James was disrespecting us and flipping bottles or whatever that game is called. Too old to play stupid nonsense like that. Yo, next time someone from Houston goes to the hole, if DeAndre Jordan is on this roster, if Mitchell Robinson is on this roster, if Charles Oakley finds his way back into the Garden, I don't care who it is, you put somebody on their ass. And when I say put them on their ass, I mean on their neck.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Rockets led by 39 points after three quarters, and they were up by as many as 42.
That's their coach, bro. That's who wasn't at the game. That's their coach who's always had it out for New York because he doesn't like how it all ended. That's what they did it for. Let's stop acting like that. That's for Kenny Atkinson, who couldn't get an interview in New York after Mike D'Antoni left because he was part of the staff. That's all that was for. That was for them embarrassing the owner of the Knicks. That's all that was for.
It didn't look like David Fizdale shook hands with the coach that took D'Antoni's spot because he called out sick with the flu or some nonsense like that.
Yep, and that was the other thing, Lloyd. It's funny you mentioned that because I swear to you, the first things that went through my head is he doesn't respect our roster to the point where he took a day off and they let him. He wasn't sick. He coached the game before. He coached the game after. He wasn't sick. Let's keep it real.
And it was reports that Holmes was in street clothes, Mad Mike. He was already in street clothes, leaving the arena 10 minutes after the final buzzer.
Yeah, nah, man. They did what they did. But you know what? That's all right. That's why we root for teams like Golden State. Man, I got no respect for rosters like that. I don't. You can't tell me. The one thing I always say, and I tell my coach this all the time in softball. He actually did it yesterday. I say it all the time. Don't disrespect another team. No matter how bad you think that team is, don't respect them as competitors. You know what I mean? And it's just, that's what it is. Any given day, and I'm not saying I'm a professional, but any given day, I can go out there and I can blow a ligament out just playing softball the same way they can. In the NBA, your career can be defined by, I mean, look at Nurkic, you know, just a few weeks ago playing Brooklyn, had his leg snap in half. This game can be taken away from anybody at any given time. You show them the respect they deserve by being on that court with you. They're professional NBA basketball players, whether you want to acknowledge that or not. And you show them the respect they deserve.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, there's this way you play the game with ethics. And, you know, you see an NBA team get upset if they're getting blown out and a team dribbles a court and tries to take a shot with 2 seconds left or 3 seconds left. That pisses people off. This is no different. It's called sportsmanship, and that was very tacky. That was very tacky by the Rockets organization and by the players on that bench.
Nah, you know what it is? It's because it was against the Knicks. Because if it was against, if they did that to the Spurs, which they would never do it to the Spurs, but if they would have done that to the Spurs, the NBA world would be up in arms, Lloyd. You know it. I know it. Everyone would be going crazy. But because they did it to the Knicks, it's okay. And you know what? While we're on the sportsmanship talk, shout out to Gabrielle Union for calling a spade and calling out Paul Pierce for trying to diminish Dwayne Wade's career. Can't do it, brother. Can't do it. Last time I checked, Dwayne Wade had a championship before LeBron got there. Last time I checked, Paul Pierce didn't have a championship until KG got there. Remember that. Unbelievable. Listen, to me. You want to talk about sportsmanship.
That's super salty. I was surprised, but not so surprised coming from Paul Pierce, because listening to him as a commentator, I've seen him say some things, you know, that's very salty. Like, you
listen,
know,
he's on ESPN. It's all for ratings.
Yeah.
But like she said, yo, another man that looks just like you, and say whatever you want, another man that came up from the hood in Chicago, right? All he's trying to do through his career is make things better. Why are you downplaying him? Why are you using your platform to make people go look back at your career? Move on, man. It's Dwayne Wade's time. That's all there is to it. Yeah, Dwayne Wade ain't asking for anything he doesn't deserve. Dwayne Wade ain't over here asking people to do this thing for him. You know what I mean? Give him gifts. Celebrate his career. I just don't understand the sense in it. But you know what, man? That's the day and age we live in. The day and age we live in is where I don't respect your career. I don't respect what you did. I only respect what I did. And I don't want to be forgotten. So I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah, that's
enough, wow. Man. Enough with it.
I agree.
What's his name? You know, Steven Jackson. This is no different than what Steven Jackson did to Clyde Frazier by diminishing his career as if he was a nobody. That's what Paul Pierce just did. And I changed the subject only because I feel like it's the same kind of disrespect we see on the court as now what we're seeing in the booth. You know what I mean? Okay. It annoys the hell out of me.
Fair point. And by clinching, Matt Mike, the worst record the Knicks have. No tanking left to do. And by doing so, they can't fall worse than fifth, like you pointed out. You know, in the May 14th lottery for Zion Williams. In fact, because of the NBA's new lottery, you know, will form the odds are considerably better for them to select five than one.
Yeah.
You know, last week they clinched a 14% top odds to win a lottery pick. And now they have officially a 47.9% chance of falling to number five.
I'm not thinking that way at all.
I mean, they got Chicago and they got Detroit. They got Chicago tomorrow and they got Detroit Wednesday. And they're on pace, Matt Mike, to either set or equal the worst record in team history. Now, they don't want to do that.
I'm fine, man. Listen, well, the one thing we've always said is you can win in losing. And I just recently made this comparison, you know, this week, actually, talking with somebody. People forget. The San Antonio Spurs, they had their worst season in their career, in their history, and ended up, and that was when David Robinson got injured. I remember Dominique Wilkins was their best player. Dominique Wilkins, you know, a year or two away from retirement, best player. And they ended up with the first draft pick, which turned into Tim Duncan, fired their coach, hired promoted Greg Popovich from the front office to the bench. And they've never looked back. 20 straight years of playoffs. So it starts somewhere is what I'm pointing out. So sometimes there is winning and losing. And if this year ends up with Zion, even if you don't get KD and you don't get, you know what I mean, Kyrie.
Did they have a good young nucleus in New York?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're saying, hey, between Zion, you know, Mitchell, Knox,
Trier,
yeah, there's talent there. And actually, you know who else? Somebody that you know, looks like he's going to be something, and you're going to call me crazy? Mario Hezonja has really, really, really shined the last couple weeks of the season,
man. You know why, man, Mike? That's because he's damn playing. And not sitting
on the bench. Yeah, I was just going to say, give it a chance.
I don't know why he was put on it. I don't know why Fizdale wasn't playing him.
Guy was getting standing ovation in Orlando. And what does that tell you? That tells you that those fans know that they screwed him up, not that he never had the talent. He's getting a standing ovation for a 29-point game in Orlando.
Yeah, he went out of ball. He had a triple-double. He went out of ball, man.
And those fans, and that's a team playing for the playoffs. That's a team playing for something. And those fans were cheering for him every chance they got. That told me. I know it sounds corny. That told me that we got the right guy here. That he's the right guy as far as being part of the answer. Because those fans don't cheer for you, especially fans of a team you left. They don't cheer for you if they think that you were the problem.
Yeah. No, you're
they don't.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So when
right.
I saw that, it changed my whole opinion.
Yeah. Listen, I'm excited. Mad Mike is excited. You know, there's been reports that KD is all but done in Golden State. Still doesn't mean that he's coming to New York, but, you know, the signs are that he's not going to remain in Golden State.
And he doesn't have to. And you know, not for nothing. And this is the one thing I've always said. And me and you have had this talk, and I've said the same thing to you about KD. Without him, they were 1-1 in the finals against LeBron James, and the overall record was 8-6 without KD. With KD, 8-1, 2-0 against LeBron, and they never fully embraced him. They can tell you whatever they want. They never fully embraced him. If they fully embraced him, the fan base, do you think Draymond would have been able to do what he did this year when he tried to embarrass him on the bench? That would have never happened. They would never do that to Steph. Draymond, nobody would do that. And that's why I think it's time for him to go. I came, I proved myself, and you guys still didn't accept me. Still, you know what I mean? Like, don't. I'm fine with him leaving. 100% fine with him leaving.
Yeah, listen, I'm happy. I'm looking forward to this offseason. I'm also looking forward to the playoffs. You know, the Brooklyn Nets are still, you know, fighting for a playoff spot. Hopefully the Nets will get it, man. The Nets are playing solid basketball.
No, I think the Nets clinched a playoff spot on Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Yesterday,
that's great.
They clinched a playoff spot.
Congratulations to the Brooklyn Nets.
With a win.
And I tell you right now, that's a team that you don't want to fool around with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yo, you know, it's funny. I wanted to ask you a question. Not necessarily, it's not a net question, so I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, if the Knicks get the number 2 pick and it turns out to be Ja Morant, do you flip the script in your, I guess, in free agency? And do you target, like, do you say, hey, you know what? We got Ja. Let's shoot for, you know, Klay and KD.
Yeah, I would either say Kawhi and KD.
Or that's what I was going to say. Or you get Kawhi and KD.
You know, but the whole thing is, you know, KD, and it seems like KD and Kyrie or deal package. I don't know what that happens. That's why we was talking about on the show. You know, we felt that Ja Morant and Kyrie Irving could play in the same backcourt with each other. And
I'm all for the 2-point guard.
Yeah, you seem
system.
To think that it could work, and I think that it could work. So let's see what happens. But, Mad Mike, let's take a quick commercial break, And when we come back, we're going to talk some baseball, and we're going to talk some, yes, my New York Islanders, Mad Mike, are in the playoffs. So we're going to talk some hockey as well. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Let's start off with some baseball, Mad Mike. As the Metropolitans, the New York Mets, lost 2 out of 3 to the Washington Nationals over the weekend. And Sunday's game was, I was sitting there, I was like, oh my gosh, is this even happening? The walks. I've never seen so many batters walk in a game before. Never seen it. As the Nationals pounded out the Mets, they pounded them out and took 2 out of 3. And the Mets barely won that second game, man, Mike. They came back. They came back and won the second game, but they should have gotten swept.
Yeah. This is why I was saying kind of pump the brakes, right? Because one game can make all the difference. And yeah, you gotta believe, to quote Pete Alonso, that comeback saved a lost weekend, man, because this team could have went from 6-3, what they are now, to 5-4, and then it just looks like, man, you got swept by the Nationals. You wasted such a good 5-1 start. But you know, we'll see what happens. I'm still not a firm believer. And their bullpen is still pitching well. I don't trust them though. Zach Wheeler is still showing the same first inning, second, you know, the same early inning struggles. Thor.
Yeah, he's struggling too, man, Mike.
Yeah,
DeGrom.
Yeah, DeGrom is special. DeGrom is special. And Noah Syndergaard speaks like he's special. But I don't know if he's ever going to give them the length they need. I'm talking about a guy like every time DeGrom takes the ball, you're like, I know I'm going to get 7-8 innings. But every time Noah gets the ball, for some reason, you're like, man, this guy only went 6. This guy's pitch count is always high, and you can tell me it's because of the strikeouts. But Jacob DeGrom gets just as many strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, you summed it up when you said DeGrom is special. And I actually think the Mets got them a deal. They got them a steal what they signed them for.
Yeah, they did. But you know what? I said it before. I said it a couple weeks ago on the show. I think that he was smart to do it now. You signed a 5-year deal now because 35-year-olds are still getting deals. And we're going to talk about a 35-year-old who got a deal and he's useless in a few minutes. So yeah, it was smart move for him. As long as he doesn't show any drop-off, there's still another 3 years at $50 million on the table for him.
Let's talk about Robinson Cano real quick, Mad Mike.
Sure.
He's hitting .222. I don't know why I thought he was having a better season than what he was actually having. I looked at his stats. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, naturally, Lloyd, it's because the Mets are having a better start than people anticipated. So, because they're winning games, you get the feeling that he's a big part of it. You know, the first home run in the first game, the game tying home run in Saturday's game, it makes you think a lot more of him. But you know, this going to be he's a great hitter, he's a great fielder. There's going to be a transition period for him. He doesn't know these pitchers, and if we want to be honest, facing the national staff 6 games out of your first 9, it's not easy.
Do you think his better days are behind him, Mad Mike?
Me personally, yeah, I do. But you know, he still has some good years left in him. But I definitely don't think you're going to see. I don't think he's going to hit 30 home runs and hit .320 for the New York Mets. I think maybe you'll see something like 25 home runs and a .290 average or something like that, which is still good. But I just think it's going to always it's just going to go down. You know, I just think he's going to slowly regress throughout the life of this deal.
Yeah, you know what? I want to actually give props to, is his name Pete Alonso?
Yep.
He's been playing really well. Now he's been playing really well, man, Mike. He's probably cemented Dominic Smith's butt on that bench.
Yeah, but you know, Dominic Smith, this is what I don't like. This is where I just this is the problem I have with the Mets. Dominic Smith has done nothing, nothing to deserve the bench. You know what I mean? Like, so trade him, do something. The Mets are always, they always have a logjam. They did the same thing. I think we've spoke about this with Joe. They did the same thing at third base when Daniel Murphy was a third baseman and David Wright was a third baseman and Evan Turner was a third baseman. And they never had the foresight to see. We only want to keep one of them. So start changing positions and start trading them and get the value. And they're going to do the same thing here with Pete Alonso and Dominic Smith. You don't have a DH in the NL. Why are you grooming two first basemen of the future?
Yeah, listen, and not for nothing, Mad Mike. You know, we were talking about Jeff McNeil playing the outfield, and you were saying how much of a disaster that was going to be. And he was awful going back on the fly ball yesterday.
Because, Lloyd, it's so unfair to them. You're asking a second-year player who hasn't even fully developed his own approach at the plate, who's still trying to find his way. You know who, and we're going to talk about another guy like this very soon in a few minutes, folks. But, yeah, you know, it's unfair to him. Learn a new defensive position. It's not like second base to third base. We're asking this guy to learn from the middle infield to the outfield. Come on. And you want him to do it in these fans' eyes. Why? Because you think he's a really good hitter. If you think he's a really good hitter, why'd you trade for Robinson Cano? Sign Bryce Harper. By the way, Cano makes $23 million a year, and Bryce Harper makes $25. If you needed an outfielder, you could have signed Bryce Harper. And you could have put McNeil at second base. It's not like they don't have the money. Just saying that's where. So yeah. They, now that was my whole consideration. You know when I got at them for their treatment of Jeff McNeil, it's because it's unfair to him. Now he looks like a fool out there, Lloyd, on Saturday. Yeah, he looks like a fool.
Yeah, he looked pretty bad, pretty bad. But let's move on to the New York Yankees, Mad Mike.
Yeah, so moving on to the New York Yankees, talking about a 35-year-old who just got a new contract. Can this bum-ass lefty that we signed to 3 years, $51 million, give us more than four innings? A start?
Yeah, I knew you was gonna come at this dude's jugular. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. He's shaky, man.
Doesn't even deserve me to say his name right now.
He's shaky. We're talking about Mr. Happ, listeners, J.A. Happ. He's shaky. Listen, I was saying for the Yankees to lose two out of three to Baltimore that they had to go, what was it, 5-1, we said?
Yeah, this week.
You know, 5-1 this week. They had to win two out of three or sweep Detroit and then win two out of three in Baltimore. They actually swept Baltimore and lost two out of three to Detroit, so they actually finished 4-2. Over these last six games. I'll take 4-2. They beat up on Baltimore yesterday, Mad Mike. Holy Toledo. Sanchez, your boy Sanchez, had three home runs.
Yeah, and I hope he shut all these fans up, man. I hope he shut all these fans up.
And listen, Mad Mike has been on record listening, saying that Gary Sanchez is the best hitter in the Yankees lineup. He's been on record, and he's stuck behind that.
Listen. I heard so many calls this past week. Sanchez sucks. He can't throw the ball. His defense has actually been much better. And if you believe the advanced statistics, which we've actually told you listeners on this show, JT Realmuto, who you all want the Yankees to trade and get rid of Sanchez for, is actually not as good. It's a wash defensively. And when you take the offense into consideration, he's never shown to be anywhere close to as prolific as Gary Sanchez has shown us throughout his career. And once again, think about what he's doing in five home runs and nine RBI through the first three series of the season. He's not an April player. He doesn't like the cold weather, listeners. He's a slow starter. He's from the islands. He's from DR. None of them like playing in April. If he's already got 5-9, can you imagine what he's about to do to the league, barring injury? Get out of here. Leave me alone with that. I'm tired of hearing of it.
Listen,
tired of it.
If he's bopping the ball the way he is, man, Mike, I don't give a damn about his average. And no, but Gary Sanchez is not a 200. He's not a 200 batting average. He's not a 200 hitter. He's not.
No, and you know what? And fans are right. And he's probably not a 290, probably not a 280, 290 hitter either, now that there's tape out on him. But how many players are having 20, 30 points stolen from their batting average because of, you know, shifts and more footage on him?
Mike,
so don't be mad at him because he's hitting 250, 260. He's never going to hit 280. So what? You find me a catcher in the league hitting 250 with 36 home runs and 98 RBIs.
That's what I was going to say. Gary Sanchez can hit between 250 and 260 and bang out 38 home runs. That's perfect.
Simple.
That's perfect. We never said he was a batting crown champion.
And Lloyd, you know what? And I'm going to point out the hypocrisy of Yankee fans, right? Everyone loves Luke Voit. Everyone loves Luke Voit and his four home runs and eight RBIs. What's he hitting? 170? 170? And everybody absolutely is loving him, right? So when Gary Sanchez does the same exact thing, why ain't nobody supporting him?
I always said Luke Voit was a smokescreen, man.
I don't think Luke Voit is ever going to hit for average, and I think he's gonna hit it for just enough power. Who was that guy? You remember there was a Yankee, and every time they wanted to pull him out of the lineup, I hate to use the word black dude. First baseman came from Milwaukee.
Yeah,
Oakland.
What was his name? Davis, Chris Davis, or something like that.
It was something. Sorry, listeners, I drew a blank. But he was the same way. He would suck for weeks at a time. And then just when Joe Girardi and the Yankees were ready to just cut him and move on, he would have like a two-game stretch of four home runs or something. And you're like, oh, he finally found it. And then you go back and strike out 35 times a week. That's who Luke Voit is to me. Luke Voit is going to be a guy that he's going to have a game where he hits, you know, two home runs and he's going to have four RBIs. And then it's going to be five games of nothing for the rest of the week. And his numbers are going to end up something like 29 home runs and 80 RBIs. But he's going to hurt you more than he helps you. That's just my feeling watching him. But we'll see.
I mean, he seemed to have taken the reins of the starting first baseman job away from Greg Bird.
Which doesn't make sense to me. Because
it doesn't make sense to me neither.
You need to let Greg Bird get his reps, and he's a better defender. And he's going to face more righties. He's a better leader. And that's actually been reported just last week, Lloyd, talking about how Greg Bird has actually made it his business and he's helping all these guys with their struggles, because who knows better the struggles in New York than Greg Bird?
No, you're absolutely right. And Gleyber Torres is playing solid baseball, man, Mike.
Special.
You know, Brett Gardner is starting to hit the ball a little bit better.
But this is where I wanted to go. You know, talking about a player that's never actually been given a chance, regardless of what you read, whether you want to blame that on Girardi or Cashman or whatever. But boy, oh boy, is Clint Frazier taking this job away from Brett Gardner right in front of all of our eyes. He is finally getting his shot, and he is destroying it right now.
Yeah, he's playing solid baseball.
Solid? What?
Yeah, he's playing.
Game winner, home run.
What are you, two home runs yesterday?
Three home runs. Two home runs on Sunday and a game winning home run on Saturday. And we're talking about a guy, he's hitting 375, talking about, you know, you're looking at Gardner hitting 222, couldn't hit a freaking side of a burn for the first week of the season. You know, good. I hope he doesn't ever give it back, you know? People forget that this kid did not receive a chance 2 years ago. And last year, he had concussion issues. Don't label him an injury risk. He had concussion issues. He got a concussion diving into a freaking wall. And then the second concussion came after whiplash diving for a ball. You can't take away this kid's, you know, his tenacity. And you can't call him injury prone. You can't predict concussions. Not in the game of baseball.
Yeah, so now the Yankees open up a series against the Houston Astros, and they come in the team that's, you know, the Yankees are pretty beat up. No Stanton, you know, they got injuries on their side. But if they could just win a game from Houston, and let's just say finish this road trip at, what, 5-4, right? If they lose to
They're 5-4 now. They're 5-4 now. So if they win one out of three, you know, you're looking at 6-6.
I would take that, considering how beat up they are. Boston is not playing well.
No, I think they're 3-8, Boston.
You know, Tampa Bay is playing, you know, they're probably, in the East, they're probably playing the best. Baltimore was at the top, but Baltimore's now, I mean, you know, they got beat up by the Yankees, and I could see them falling out of the top spot. Obviously, they did.
Tampa Bay's a team. Tampa Bay's a team you got to worry about, because I believe they're 6-3 going into today. And they got a favorable matchup this week with Chicago and Toronto.
Yes,
yeah, I mean, even if they play,
solid pitching in Tampa Bay.
They can come out of this week easily, you know, 11-4, and it wouldn't be a stretch. Like, it wouldn't surprise anybody. Yeah. And the Yankees, you know, you come out 11-4, and the Yankees come out of this week, you know, 8-7. You're digging that hole, you know.
The good thing is it's still early, listeners. So let's see what happens. But Mad Mike, quickly shifting gears before we close the show out. We got to talk some hockey, Mad Mike, as the Islanders are set to embark on their first-round series with the Pittsburgh Penguins, starting with Game 1 at the Coliseum on Wednesday night. And it could be looked at as a perennial power against an upstart team that's not talented enough or deep enough to hang. But this has been a strange season in the Eastern Conference, Mad Mike, or more like a new norm. As, you know, meteorocracy has prevailed underneath historically, you know, terrific lighting. So, with that outlook, that the Islanders prepare to take on Sidney Crosby and company, earning the right to start the series in Long Island, they finished with 101 points, which is a very good season for the New York Islanders, man, Mike.
Very good. It's great.
Yes.
It's great.
And they're earning the right, you know, to be given for odds at beating Pittsburgh club that has collected 3 Stanley Cups in the past decade, Mad Mike.
Yeah, but they're not the same team. They're not the same offensive team. Not the same. They're not getting the same.
I agree.
But let's also say, and they're not getting the goaltending.
Mad Mike, that a lot has changed, and the Islanders are now a team predicted. They're predicated on playing defense. And they don't have a high-end skill, you know, player that most of the teams have, but they find strength in their depth. They roll out 4 lines, you know, even more so now that Valtteri Filippula is back. He's returned from a hyperextended elbow. He scored twice in his first game back on Saturday. And that's why they weren't too concerned about home ice. Like, I don't really think it mattered to this team if the Islanders started at home or didn't start at home.
No, you know, I'm going to tell you something. And remember, I don't know if you remember, me being a Ranger fan, I raved to you about bringing in Lou Lamoriello and the hiring of Barry Trotz. And you know, Barry Trotz brought in, I'm drawing a blank. I want to believe, say his name is Mitch Korn and Pierre Greco to coach his goalies and you know, the difference that they've made, you know, talking about those guys, they, you know, just recently, Braden Holtby, Dominic Hasek, you know, back in the day, and what they've done with this defense and what they've done with Grice and Leonard?
Yeah, right, Robert Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has been nothing short of amazing, man. The defensive, like you just said, the defensive change. And, you know, we know Pittsburgh is not the same offense anymore, but this Islander defense, I think this Islander defense, and maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I think this Islander defense could have played with those Stanley Cup Pittsburgh offenses. I don't think this is going to be as tough a series. At least I'd like to not believe it's going to be as tough a series as some people anticipate.
Look, I think the biggest detriment for this team is their lack of offensive power and scoring the second fewest goals of any playoff team behind only the Stars, whom the Islanders nipped for the, you know, the Jennings Trophy for giving up the fewest goals. That's also resulted in a power play that was the third worst in the league, Mad Mike, at 14.5%. And they might end up being the Islanders' undoing. It just might be their undoing. You know, but they managed to get this far by playing like that. So matching up.
Yeah, but do you remember, Lloyd? Do you remember the way the Rangers played with Tortorella? And you remember how everybody criticized them? You can't win a Stanley Cup by playing defense. You can't win a Stanley Cup by playing takeaway. And what happened to the Rangers when they went away from him and went to Alain Vigneault, you just saw the decline, and it was almost rapid. It wasn't even slow. It just, you could see a team that they played that way because that's the way they were meant to play. And they went to a Stanley Cup final playing that way. And well, technically, no, but Alain Vigneault got him there. But you know what I mean? Like, on the backs of that, that's why I feel so good about the Islanders, because they're built that way. Just don't let anybody convince you that you can't win that way, because you can.
Yeah. So, look, match it up against the perennial power in Pittsburgh and see how that stack up. You know, just as this next step in a surprising season. They've had a surprise. I wasn't expecting this team to score 101 points this year, man, Mike. I wasn't. I was saying I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did, but I thought they would be one of those wild card teams that snuck into the playoffs this year. I never pegged them as having over 100 points this season.
I didn't see them getting the goaltending, and that's why I named these coaches for you, because Barry Trotz, he believes in these guys, and he's probably always had his goalie end up overachieving, and he's turned some good ones into great ones, and we kind of overlooked that. And it looks like this year they got solid defense and solid goaltending. I don't know what else to say about this team. Yeah, they have shortcomings offensively, but I'm telling you, I'm picking them to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And you know, as an Islander fan, I'm doing exactly the same. Look, it's exciting. You couldn't ask for a better place than playoff hockey to be played at the Coliseum. You know, the Islanders moved from the Coliseum to Brooklyn, and they just never seem to fit in Brooklyn, Mad Mike. But the games that they played at the Coliseum has been very energetic. So I know that building is going to be off the chain, Mad Mike. And this is going to be something that we're going to talk about in next week's show as well, listeners. So with that being said, it's that time of the show where we let Mad Mike go on his rant for the week. So Mad Mike, what you got for us for this week, brother?
Yo, I was going to do this last week, but I figured I'd let all the facts come out. I'll say it's kind of sports-based, because I think Russell Westbrook made it that. But, man, when are we going to stop taking out our own, man? Like you go and murder somebody like Nipsey Hussle, who's got businesses in L.A., who's taking care of the kids in L.A., who's meeting with the cops to stop gang violence in L.A., who's a prominent voice in the black community all around, who was a gang member, and you know, he didn't stop, you know, he doesn't talk bad about the Crips, but he talked about how it's not necessarily, you know, the life for everybody. It's not the life to go down for everybody, and trying to be above those kind of things, man. And to see Russell Westbrook go 20-20-20 and support of him, I was speechless, man. I watched the whole game. I really did. And I was just amazed by it. And I just wish we'd stop. My rant is not necessarily a rant, man. I just wish we would stop taking out our own and start embracing change, man, and positivity enough already. You know what I mean? Like, it's why did Jackie Robinson not kneel for the flag? You know what I mean? So we can do things like this. Why did Jackie Robinson, you know, fight for a player's rights, you know, a black person's rights to play a game? And this is why. So we as minorities can feel like we're a part of something, that like we have more meaning. Can't keep taking out people that are showing us the way.
Great point, man, Mike. And you know, I was saying to somebody, or I've been saying it, you know, Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace, and, you know, love and blessings to his family and fans and friends and loved ones, that he wasn't killed, he was assassinated. You know, he was assassinated. Brother was doing so many, you know, positive things in his community. And then some. And it was somebody who, you know, it was somebody who knew him. It was somebody he had a relationship with. You know, was, you know, not to turn us into this, but, you know, there was interviewing his friend, and his friend was saying, you know, it was somebody that had walked up to him and shook their hands, and it was somebody that they felt comfortable with, you know, enough with to let their guard down. And the guy went, you know, shook their hands, bought a burger, came back, and assassinated Nipsey Hussle.
Lord, I only brought it up because the reaction to what Russell did has been mixed, and I thought that it should have been celebrated. And I thought I would just take this time not only to celebrate what Russell did in memory of his friend, but to celebrate his friend himself.
Second player in NBA history to have a 20-20-20 along with Will Chamberlain.
Yeah, and it was done purposely, you know, with the meaning of 60, you know what I mean? And I just thought that for him to do it, I thought it was special. I thought it was necessary. But, you know, he has faced backlash, some because it's who he is and some because, you know, they don't want gang-related stuff in the NBA, and I get it. But sometimes we have to understand what he did wasn't gang-related. What he did was he was sending a message to a community that it's you know, that's the only reason I wanted to bring it up. That's the only reason.
He's from, you know, around that area as well.
Yes, and that's why I'm bringing it up. You know, I wasn't going to bring it up last week, but when Russ did it, you know, kind of brought it into the sports world. And, you know, with LeBron wearing the shirt on Friday night, just all in all, it became a sports story. At least to me, it became a sports story. And I thought it needed to be mentioned, and I wanted to use my time to bring it up.
All right, there you have it. So, listeners, we still have a lot more to cover. And the weeks moving forward, we still got to do the NFL draft, because that's coming up very soon. You know, once the college championship is over, we got to start thinking about this NBA mock draft. We'll talk free agency. We'll talk more baseball. We got playoff basketball coming up. We got, you know, Islanders playoff hockey to talk about. So much more to talk about moving forward. With that being said, that's going to bring us to the close of this week's show. Me and Mad Mike want to thank you, the listeners, for sticking with us, for supporting us. You know, and hopefully you continue to support us moving forward. We want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker. You know, he's probably finishing up that cup of coffee right now, for sticking with us as well. So, listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. And me and Mad Mike can see you in 7 days. So, Ayo, let's roll, baby.
And just like that, that brings our show to a close. All of you fine ladies and gentlemen that have been listening, I thank you. If you subscribe, thank you. If not, please do so. And make sure you share it with your friends and your family, anybody that you know. But get into some sports talk. You got the best sports podcast, in my very humble opinion. The best sports podcast, the real sports and the real talk, right here with the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show. As you already know, episodes drop every single Monday. Head over to LloydAThompson.com. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. That's with two L's. Make sure you throw the second L in. And we'll catch y'all in a week. Peace.